Well, we've been looking now for four Sundays at the question why, but I'm going to suspend that for the time being, seeing as how this is a Sunday before revival, and I want us to focus our attention on revival. Lord willing, we're going to only suspend that series. I had intentions of it being done in four, only to realize that I'm just beginning, perhaps, in four. One thing leads to another. And received a question, I think it was today, online, that perhaps I will even have to incorporate that into a whole service or a whole message itself. So, don't know. I've got a week, 2 weeks to think about it and pray about it and see what goes on. Looking forward to revival meeting. But when Jesus came into the world, it made a difference. Not only did he come into the world, but his desire is to come in to those that are willing to receive him. That means you and I, includes us with the whosoever will, includes us that whoever is willing to receive him, we have that privilege, opportunity, called a son of God, a child of the King. Him coming is what we need more than anything. Jesus coming is what we need more than anything. In Luke chapter 3 and verse number 4, the last part of that verse says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Prepare ye the way of the Lord. It goes on to say, "Make his paths straight." Verse 5 says, "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." You and I have memories, at least the majority of us have memories of revival meetings when God came in what we would say a special way. And we still pray that way. Lord, come in a special way. We have our own little definition of what special means. Sometimes I am amused at how we use that word special. Lord, give them a special touch and come in a special way. We use that word special in special ways, meaning specially certain things. We can't define it. Oh, we may use the dictionary to define the word special, but we have a specific meaning to that word when it's used in that way. I have memories of camp meetings, revival meetings. You have memories of camp meetings and revival meetings and convention meetings. When God came in that special way, probably, if we were to paint some kind of a picture of what the word special means in that context, it has to do with the presence of God being very real, very powerful, hearts were moved on. Maybe there was shouting. Probably there was shouting. There were praises, maybe extra singing. Perhaps it culminated around an altar of prayer with victories being won in the soul. Salvation being received, hearts being cleansed, sanctified, lives being changed. We've experienced those, perhaps for ourselves as well as in these meetings. Sometimes we get lost in our sight and think that it was because of the evangelist. And I'm sure that the evangelist plays a vital role in those special meetings. I think it's more, though, than the evangelist. I think it was David Light that used to carry a suitcase around and say that he didn't bring it in his suitcase. I've seen Stephen Cassidy talk about the same thing, looking through all the pockets of his suit coat and his pants, looking for revival. And he said, I didn't bring it with him. We can read a lot about revivals of the past. I like to read about some of them, most of them. Sometimes I read about them and, you know, don't care to finish because it might put us under conviction. So we, let's better lay that one aside. But otherwise, I enjoy reading about those old-time revivals. Maybe you understand what I'm saying about feeling the conviction of a power of God from yesteryear. What does it take to have revival now? Is it possible for us to have revival meeting in 2017? You look at the first verse of chapter 3 there in Luke, and it gives this this time frame, this calendar picture. Is it possible to have revival meeting in the first year of Donald Trump's presidency? Whatever classification that, you know, we see it as it's listed here with these names that are listed, is it possible to have revival meeting under the classifications of time frame that we would say and that we would experience pointing to this day and this week? Beverly Carradine, Dr. Carradine, preached a number of messages in his day, a lot of messages in his day on revivals. One of them was entitled, How to Obtain a Revival. How to have revival. Commonly we think about, and we would say that there's not a specific recipe for revival. There's not something that you can really line out and say, this is what it's going to take. And yet, Dr. Carradine gives a four-point outline, a recipe for obtaining or of having revival. Who am I to argue with him when he experienced and saw so many revivals in his day? So let me share those points with you tonight as we prepare our hearts, our mind, for revival. He said the first step for having revival is that Christ must be invited. Christ must be invited. It is true that he has the right to come. It is true that his presence or his coming brings blessings. It is true that the promise has been made and given, provided that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he would be in the midst. But I believe that Carradine is saying this as an extension beyond that, that there is an invitation to him specifically to come. The reason why I believe that he's saying it's a step beyond is because he goes on, he continues. His second point is that, or the second step, he says, is that Christ must be desired. You say, well, that's the same thing. It's not really the same thing. There's an invitation given. There's a hunger within the heart to have that invitation fulfilled. Could it be that that is where the key could be found? That we do more than just say, Lord, come, that there was a hunger within the heart for him to come. You know, you know what it's like to receive an invitation or maybe to give an invitation. You know somebody that's going through problems and difficulties, and we struggle to know what to say. We struggle to know how to express ourselves. And so quite often it's easy to, at those points in time to offer our assistance by simply saying, if you need any help, let me know. Nothing wrong with that. But have you ever heard something come back from that person and said, hey, you said, you offered, this is something that you can do? More than likely, they're few. Because the invitation has been given, but we feel a little uneasy of responding to it, even for ourselves when somebody says it to us personally. Oh, if there's ever anything that I can do to help you, let me know. Well, we feel a little uneasy about that, don't we? Hey, you said if there's anything, I'm really desperately in need of a gas tank filled up. Or whatever. We don't operate that way. Most of us, our friends and our acquaintances, we don't operate that way. Now, there's some people that will take advantage of it, I'm sure. I think that carries into this kind of a setting here of being invited and then desired. It's not just simply an open invitation, but there's a step beyond where our heart hungers to have him come, to be desired. Paradigm goes on then to give and present a third step, and that is a part of the text, the verse that I read this evening, prepare his way. Make preparation. Well, what is preparation? What is preparation? What are the preparations for revival that you do? Jim Burris, dear friend, we're talking about him this afternoon a little bit. One of the things of preparation for Brother Burris for revival meeting, he always, always had to have a fresh haircut for revival. Always. It didn't matter how short it was to begin with, he had to have a fresh haircut for revival. Something in his mind said that he had to have a fresh haircut for revival. Now, I hope you're thinking, because if you're thinking, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, that's not preparation. Exactly. He didn't mean it to be preparation for revival. That's just one thing that he did in his preparation personally. He wanted to have his hair cut like it's supposed to be and be presentable. I mean, that was just, but that's not what was going to bring revival. That was not preparation for revival itself. But what is preparation for revival itself? You know, some preparation is not preparation. A haircut. As good as it may be, wasn't real preparation. Well, wait a minute here. Let's see. There's a few smudges on the walls of the church. Maybe we need to have a work day tomorrow evening. Just crowd in here tomorrow night and paint all the walls. And while we're at it, let's shampoo the carpet and shampoo the upholstery and put fans in here and get it all dried out before Tuesday. Let's get all this stuff done in preparation. Some preparation's not preparation. For revival. You know what it's like when somebody comes to your house, not a family member, we kind of excuse that a little bit, but you have guests, somebody special come to your house, everything gets shoved under the bed or on top of the bed or in the closet or down in the basement or somewhere around so that the place where the guest will be. I don't know that by experience, but I do. Most of the time, I have a computer set up on the dining room table and other things, books there, and that's the way it is right now. And so if guests are coming over, then all that gets picked up, stacked up, and put on the bed. And close the door. That's preparation for the guests. We go through this process when we are preparing for something special, somebody special. There's been known times when some earthly individual, some governor or congressman or senator or some other bigwig perhaps in government would come to a town. They would do great things in preparation. Sometimes they would repave the road or I think in years past I've read that they've made new roads for the great potentate to come. There was a significance about preparation that they would go through and they would do so that this person that was coming, this individual that was coming, would feel welcome, that would feel the desire of the people to see them and to have them. The gospel here is telling us that we are to prepare the way. Dr. Carradine is saying that we should invite him and desire him and then prepare the way for him to show him that we really do invite him and we welcome him and we desire him to come. That there's some preparation that is taking place. There is a hunger for him to be in our midst. We are told in Isaiah, what that preparation is, and we find it in this passage that we've read already tonight in Luke chapter 3, that every valley shall be filled. Well, that's a construction job, isn't it? They dig out big pits to build roads. To build this and to fill in these valleys, there would have to be quite a bit of construction taking place. What does that construction mean here in Isaiah chapter 40 about every valley being filled? I think the spiritual side of that would be that there is a desire for the Savior to come into our lives and fill the vacancies and the hollows of life. The emptiness. Those vacancies perhaps of neglected prayer or neglected Bible reading or neglected church attendance or neglected and forsaken duties that should be a part of the Christian's life. Preparing the way to express to him that we need his filling in these vacant areas, the valley areas, and to lift those up to where they should be, to the plain of his standard. That passage of Scripture goes on, speaking about not only the valleys being filled up, but then the mountains and the hills to be brought low. I don't suppose it's too difficult to see the spiritual side to that. Pride can be quite a mountain. Unbelief can be quite a mountain. Those things have to come down. Sometimes we have to lay, matter of fact, let me back up, not sometimes, but we have to lay aside our personal feelings and our personal things, lay them aside and allow the Holy Spirit to bring them down. Before the Savior can ever reach into our lives. Every mountain be brought down, every valley be brought up, and the crooked places made straight. The crooked places made straight. That's what the Old Testament's saying, Isaiah's saying, and it's brought over into the Gospel of Luke, speaking about the same thing as it quotes from Isaiah. The crooked shall be made straight. We must do the right thing. We need to get straight with everybody. I don't know exactly. I haven't been around long enough to be able to say it for certain for myself, but I believe that it's a vital aspect that if there's divisions in the church that if there's divisions in our hearts, if there's quarrels going on, if there's restitution to be made, those crooked paths need to be straightened out. That's what the scripture's saying. Prepare his way. Preparing his way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Repentance, forsaking sin, restitution either before repentance or after repentance, but restitution, reconciliation, such a vital aspect as well, reconciliation. Talking about preparation. We can invite him, we can desire him, but if we stop there, I think that Dr. Carradine had something to say when he said that third step of preparing his way. And then he gives the fourth step. It sounds a little strange. I had to stop and reread it a number of times. But he said the fourth step, or the condition of Christ coming to us, is that he must be besought to come. That's not a word that we use too often. I challenge anybody to convince me that you've used that in the last 12 months, maybe 10 years or more, if ever. You see, it's not a word we use, but he used it, and it makes me at least pause and think and dwell on it just a little bit longer than what I might if it's a word that I understand. He goes on to explain what it means. He said, see the order, invited, desired, prepared for, and besought. It means that he must be entreated to come. It is not enough to ask and desire his coming. He must be importuned. Repeatedly ask. As a matter of fact, as I read down through that part of his sermon, he actually used in his writing there, and I suppose that he used it in his sermon when he was preaching, that we need to get on our knees and beg. Wow. I don't know if I like the word beg. I prefer the word plead, but you can use whichever word you want. I think that maybe we can understand what he's saying, that the word besought is more than just an invite and more than just a desire, but there's something that goes beyond it, where we are drawn to him and we are hungering for him, that there is something within the heart that is saying, oh God, I can't make it, we can't make it unless you come. And there's a desperation of the soul that takes us to the point where we are continually seeking him and asking him, even to the point where we are giving up our own personal desires and things that we want and hold dear, so that we can press the issue to the ear of God. The date's been set. The scheduling is concluded. Plans are being made. We can have 7 services. And along about 3 or 4, we get weary. But let's stop and think. What is it that we really want? What is it that we really need? For when Jesus passes by, when Jesus comes, things are different. A change takes place. Needs are met. Lives are changed. Hearts are more than stirred. Again, thank God for the stirring, but we need more than stirring. The songwriter said, I'm tired of being stirred. I want to be changed. I know it's a small area up here, But I'd like for as many as possible to gather around the front and let's unite our voices and blend our hearts. Lay aside all of the differences, the little things that maybe we talk about, and just lay aside all of those things. All of those things. Everything that is going to hinder the Holy Spirit moving within our midst. Everything that we don't understand. Everything that we don't like about somebody else or something else. Lay it all aside and bring our heart and our mind together to focus on the need, the necessity of revival, of God coming. Revive our heart again. It's not an easy task for us to do those things humanly, to push aside all of those things that would distract us and pull us away. That's the plan of the enemy, to switch our attention. But we can bring it together, united together, for the cause of a meeting that will be a revival that perhaps some of our kids and our young people have never seen. And maybe one that you and I haven't seen in a long time. But it's going to take something more than what the norm is. If we want more of Jesus, we're going to have to get more of Him. Give more of Him. I mean, give more of us, excuse me. Can we do that? Let's gather in, squeeze in front seats, up on the platform, around the front. Let's have a good season of prayer as we close out tonight. And prepare ourselves specifically for the meeting coming up this week.